With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. This is our second go at today's episode. I was able to get Ryan McNeely from HuckJock.com to come back on the podcast with us. The first attempt we had, unfortunately, the recording didn't work correctly. We were able to go ahead and get something put together real quick for you guys so we can have a preview here of the Texas Tech game. So I will get you guys right on over to that interview.
And I am joined now by Ryan McNeely. Ryan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Still cold up here in the Midwest, though, so I'm hoping that clears up a little bit soon.
Yeah, definitely. So for those of you that are listening to this now, we actually had previously recorded this podcast, and then I found out the recording didn't work correctly. So I am now recording this in my car on the way home so we can get you guys something to preview this Texas Tech game. But Ryan, so first of all, we last talked to you, I think it was in the middle of the football season. Obviously you guys over there are at Hawk Jock. Love to talk about football, but also like to talk about basketball. I've been following what you guys have been doing. So first of all, what are your overall impressions of the team this year?
Well, I was impressed early with the first couple games, especially the Michigan State game. And then it really kind of went downhill there in the middle. We got real, there just wasn't any growth. I felt like we weren't progressing, we were regressing. And then now after there's been some unfortunate events happen that we thought would probably affect the team in a different way, it seems like somehow it has affected them in a positive way. And now the team seems like they're really gelling together. They're growing. They're getting better. And overall, the last few games, I've been impressed with them again. And they're exciting to watch with starting four freshmen. It's been up and down this year.
Yeah, it's definitely been a big roller coaster this year. I mean, obviously, you know, the expectations that this was a preseason number one team was going to be a very, very good team. And they started out really well against Michigan State, but then let them back in. And that was kind of a foreshadowing, I think, for the rest of the year. I mean, we had guys get injured, guys just not performing the way we're expecting to. And then when our backs were against the wall, we found a couple gems here and there, some things that you would have thought could have potentially broken the team that ended up actually causing them all to come together. So, but obviously, you know, so we already did our recap of the West Virginia game in the last podcast. So we're going to focus tonight exclusively on this Texas Tech game coming up. So my first question about this particular game is, when you look at this Texas Tech team, even though we beat them handily when we played in Allen Fieldhouse, what's your first impression of this Tech team, especially after the last few games that they've had?
Their defense. That's their big key. It's really, you know, what they're holding their opponents to. And I know that they haven't played the best opponents in the Big 12 the last several games that they've blown them out of the water. I think like 40 by, or sorry, by like 24 points, something like that, averaging. Their defense is so tough. I think they're in the top five in defense in the nation, I believe, maybe third.
And they actually are the number one team in the nation in terms of defense, according to Ken Palm. So.
Are they now? Okay, yeah. I can't remember. I can't remember if they were that high or not. I don't.
Yeah, I believe that they're one. Kansas State, I believe, is five, and KU is eight. If I remember correctly.
Oh wow, so. That's awesome. I didn't realize they were that high though. But I mean, their defense is so good, but their offense definitely lacks a little bit. You know, we don't have to have the, we don't have to bring our best defensive game to kind of to keep Texas Tech where they're at. We definitely have to bring our offensive game to go against their defense.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's really, you know, this is like a tale of two defensive teams, because Kansas has played well as they have this year because of how good their defense has been. Texas Tech, obviously, that's their big trademark, is that they're a really good defensive team. But, it seems like every time in Big 12 play when we've had two really good defensive teams going against each other, the offenses just completely break out. So I'm not really quite sure what to make of, you know, how this game is going to go. But, I mean, at least when you're looking on paper, it definitely seems that, like, the story of this game is going to be on the defensive end. It's who is going to be able to exert their will defensively. My biggest concern with Kansas is just the fact that they haven't been able to show that consistency on the road, obviously. They played pretty well for a good portion of the game against TCU in their last road game, but that's a completely different animal, I think, playing against TCU than it is playing against Texas Tech. And it kind of all fell apart at the end, and Kansas was fortunate to get out of that game with a victory.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely kind of fell apart in that TCU game there at the end. I was getting real excited about halfway through that second half, and then they started falling apart, and I started getting real nervous again. I was thinking that, oh yeah, this is going to be a good night. This is going to be a non-stressful night for me. And then obviously we ended up being stressed out there at the end, kind of how we have been all year at the end of these games.
Yeah, definitely. So, all right. So specifically though, when we're looking at Texas Tech, because I mean, I think we know who all the big offensive contributors are for Kansas, but you know, it's hard to figure out who other than Jared Culver that this Texas Tech team is really going to lean on to get their offense in this game. Is there anybody on this roster that really concerns you other than Jared Culver?
I really don't think so. He's definitely the one. He's the leader of the team on the offensive end. I think that Matt Mooney he kind of turns the ball over. I know he hasn't turned it over the last few games, but those last few games haven't, like I said, haven't really been a big deal. So I would say, as long as, you know, Culver, he's not going to have a game like he had last game against Kansas. And if Mooney cannot, if he doesn't turn the ball over and keeps possession, I think that's going to be probably their main keys of the game against this Kansas team.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to, is both of these teams being as good defensively as they are. It's really just going to be who can actually get their offense going. You know, Kansas has been successful recently with Ochai Agbaji really kind of picking it up, and Devon Dotson has been a beast at point guard for us. You know, I actually saw today, Fran Freshilla was talking about how Devon Dotson has been probably the best freshman point guard in the nation. Obviously, there were some Duke people that were arguing with him about that, but if you really look at his results, you know, he's been averaging 33 minutes a game, doesn't really have a backup at his position. Like, as I responded to some of those people that were talking about Duke and raising that point about having no backup, you know, really, there's not a guy that is just as good as him, or even is a mild drop in talent. Like, when he goes out of the game, they don't really have a guy that can play point guard position. And so they're kind of just cobbling together whatever they can when he has to rest or when he's in foul trouble. He has really kind of nailed that position down and has, you know, really made it so that we don't have much of a drop-off from what we've been used to the last few years, which is really saying something. Like, we've, you know, I think every Kansas fan going into this year expected that, you know, we had Frank the year before, and then we had Devontae last year, you know, and there was concern about, were we going to have a point guard that was going to be able to hold up to what we needed and what we've been used to seeing. And, you know, accounting for the fact that Dotson's a freshman, you know, he hasn't been quite as good as Mason or Graham were, but he is only a freshman stepping into this role and has performed admirably at this point. So he's the key for Kansas on offense. But I guess really the main question that I have still that I'm kind of trying to resolve in my own mind, and I'll get your thoughts here, is what do you think is going to be either the most important matchup or the most important single player for this game in terms of determining who's going to win?
Oh, wow. I don't even really know at this point. I do I touched on that Mooney turnover. I think that's going to be huge because Dotson has proved to us that he is a very, very good defender. Especially if he's gonna be a defender against somebody that has a tendency to turn the ball over, and then if he can do that, he's gonna get those fast break points. Who knows, Zach? If he could turn him over three times, above the key, maybe towards half court. I mean, we could easily get 4 to 6 points off of that. And I don't even, and that could be huge because I don't even know if this is going to be a 4 to 6 point game. This might be even less than that. So I think that might be a pretty huge matchup, at least on that end.
Yeah. I mean, I have to think if we're looking at a Kansas player that's going to determine the outcome, like, you know, you could say like Diedrich or Devon or, you know, any of those guys. But I think the biggest X factor, the guy that's going to have a good game for them to win, that you wouldn't necessarily think of immediately, is K.J. Lawson. You know, the fact that Garrett may be back in a kind of muted role, but he hasn't really been the key to this offense anyway all year. But K.J. has really come on strong in the last couple games, and I think if they're going to have an opportunity to win this game, because of how good Texas Tech is defensively, like, I'm expecting them to affect the way that Devon Dotson can create his own offense, the way that Ochai Agbaji is going to be able to get in the lane and you know, make shots, the way that Diedrich Lawson is going to be able to get to the basket. I think KJ is going to have a really good game. Whether that's, you know, getting 10 points in about 15 minutes of play, but playing some really good defense and coming up with some big plays, or if it's, you know, playing 25 minutes and maybe not necessarily scoring as much, but doing some other things that don't necessarily show up on the box in the box score. Like, I think we're going to have to look back on this game and say that, man, KJ played probably his best game of the year for them to be able to go in there and actually get that victory. So. All right, real quick, we are going to get to an official prediction for the game, but before we do that, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to a quick commercial break. We will be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, we're back. So I teased it before the break. We are going to go ahead and jump into our predictions right now. The last I saw, and I didn't look again this morning, but the last I saw, the line for this game was at 4.5 for Texas Tech. And the over-under, I believe, was at about 134, somewhere in that range. So if we were betting this game, where would you go with that? Do you take Kansas and the points? And do you think that despite how good these defenses are, do you think that they're going to score enough to be able to get over that under mark or that over mark?
I would probably take Kansas and the points on that. I think it's going to be I did hear today that the move to 5.5. I don't know if that's...
So it's gone back up. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It went back up. So I did hear that on the radio on the way home, that it moved up to 5.5, and it's at 135. Who knows what that could do between now and then. It's obviously continuing to move, and that's with 24 hours from right now. But I would probably take it, and I would take the over, but I always take the over. I hate taking the under no matter what, because I hate cheering for somebody not to score. That's just me. I think it's going to be probably real close, that line, that over under line there, at, you know, 135. I think they're going to be real close, but I do think that there's a good chance that they go over it.
Yeah. So 135 would put it at about 68, 67, somewhere in there. I do think that they end up scoring more than that. I would hammer that bet over, just because, you know, every time we thought it's going to be a really big defensive game, they end up scoring a bunch. I also wouldn't be surprised to see this game go to overtime. So, like, you know, if it goes to overtime, there's no way that they're going to hit the under there, even if they're playing lights out defense on both ends of the floor. But in terms of the line, like, I'm shocked that the line has been that much and that it has grown at this point. You know, I would have thought going into this, I mean, I realize the Tech is rated higher in terms of KenPom. They're at 9 the last I saw, with KU at 14, I believe. But, you know, Kansas is ranked higher. This is kind of the time of year where they really get things going. Both of these teams are pretty hot, but most of the time in basketball, you know, you see the lines tend to go towards the team that has a better offense when they're kind of a little out of whack from what you would normally expect, just because, you know, a team that's really good offensively can go on a big spurt any particular time and really put a game, you know, out of reach from where it had been. So, you know, I would have thought that KU would probably have been a 1 or 2 point underdog here. You know, I think if Kansas does lose, it's not going to be losing by, you know, 5 to 10 points. It's going to be a really, really close game. Kansas just has a way of really staying in the game and finding a way, especially when everybody's finally counted them out. I mean, we've seen this the last few years where, you know, they get into a position where they're behind. Everybody's starting to doubt, like, is this the year that they're going to finally lose the streak? And then they pull a game out of nowhere. You know, I was listening to some of Bill Self's comments. He was talking about how they've been juggling the lineup the last few games to find stuff that really works. They've been having a lot of fun doing it. Like, the guys are really starting to get into it, and they're really starting to gel. I do think that this team is improving. We haven't seen the best that they can give. And, you know, we have guys that are now kind of getting into a groove that weren't before. This team is going to get a lot better. Hopefully it's enough to get them over the hump at Texas Tech. So what is your final prediction? Like, do you think that Texas Tech is going to go ahead and actually pull this one off, or do you think that Kansas is going to win?
I still have a hard time picking Kansas in this one. I really hope that they win, obviously, and I'm obviously going to be cheering for them. But I have a hard time thinking that they're going to go down to Texas Tech and win. But, you know, the more I've looked into it, I really feel like Texas Tech is going to pull out a close one, probably in the low 70s anymore. After you and I kind of had our podcasts that are great podcasts that nobody's ever going to hear.
I know.
And some of my getting a little bit more prepared and looking at this game a little bit more, I definitely think it's probably going to be somewhere. Both teams are going to be somewhere between 70 and 75, is my prediction. Unless it goes into overtime, and which, who knows what could happen then.
Yeah. I mean, I think I have to agree with you. It's really hard to pick Kansas on the road. I think I might end up doing it. My official prediction will come out on Rock Chalk Talk tomorrow, probably. But, I mean, I'm going to have a hard time just because, you know, they have had struggled so much on the road, and this is definitely a much better team than anyone they've faced on the road so far, other than maybe Kansas State, if you really think that Kansas State is better than Texas Tech. That one's debatable at this point. But, the main reason, I think, to be optimistic for Kansas is the fact that, yeah, Texas Tech has been impressive recently, but the only team that they actually played that was any good is Baylor. You know, this last four-game winning streak when they've won by 20-plus points in every single game, and I think you had said that it was like an average of 24 points or something like that. You know, they played the worst teams in the conference, Oklahoma State, and West Virginia, and, I mean, completely slaughtered them all, but that's what you expect a good team that has a really good defense to do. You know, those teams all have really big offensive problems, even more so than Texas Tech has, and so it's not surprising they were able to shut them down. You know, and when Texas Tech can get their offense rolling, then they have an opportunity to maybe score quite a few points, and their defense can turn that defense into offense for them. But, you know, I don't think that they're going to be able to be that dominant on defense to turn that into a bunch of offensive points to be able to get the big blowout like they were against those other teams. I am a little concerned with the Baylor one because then Baylor went and, you know, beat Iowa State in Ames. But I'm really not, you know, I think that's the only game that makes you think that Texas Tech is kind of on a roll, and that's just one game at this point. So, I think ultimately I probably will end up picking Texas Tech in a really close one, but I would not be surprised if Kansas were to win this game by 5 or 6 points. I would be surprised if they lost the game by more than 3 or 4. So,
yeah, all right. I can agree with that.
Yeah. So real quick, before we go ahead and finish up for the day, I do just want to kind of get your thoughts. Obviously we're down to the wire in the conference race. There's only 5 games left. Kansas State is leading the conference now by a full game. Texas Tech and Kansas are, playing each other, only a game back. The other two teams that are in it, Iowa State and then Baylor, are both playing teams that are way out of the race at this point. So, you know, it almost seems like a given that with Kansas State playing Oklahoma State at home this weekend, and then Baylor and Iowa State both having easier opponents, like, those three teams are probably all going to win. Do you think that this is a must-win game for either of these two teams in order to actually contend for the conference race? Like, if Kansas loses this game, do you think that that's pretty much it for them?
Yes, I do. I think they'll come in second then. I think that they're going to beat Kansas State at home on Monday. This is the game that's going to tell us everything. And if they lose, then they're putting their destiny in someone else's hands, which we've done before, and we've come out on top or come out shared, I believe, with the Big 12 title. But if we don't win tomorrow or against Texas Tech, then I don't think that we're going to even get a piece of it. If we do win, and I think the same way with Texas Tech, if they don't win, they have no chance of getting a piece of it. If we win, then we control our own destiny again. And we beat K-State, and I think we have a piece of the Big 12 title at that point.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe it. Just the fact that, you know, that they have to win this game tomorrow. I don't think there's any way that Kansas State is going to win out or even just lose the game to us. Like, I think they're going to lose that game to us on Monday, and then they're probably going to lose one of their other games. You know, they don't have an easy schedule by any means, and they have not really shown me enough for me to be confident that they're going to win every other game that they have. So, you know, I'm looking at this schedule, and even if they lose tonight, as long as they win that game against Kansas State, like, that's a game that they absolutely have to have. But I do think that if they lose this game on Saturday against Texas Tech, that they will share the conference title, you know, barring obviously a big collapse. If they win that game, then they have an opportunity to go ahead and win it outright. I do think that there's an opportunity for them to drop one more game after this, just given the fact that they, you know, haven't played very well against Oklahoma State, and Baylor will be fighting for their lives. They'll be fighting for a top five seed in the NCAA tournament. They'll be fighting for maybe potentially a share of the conference title at that point. So that game, even though it's at home, that game against Baylor to end the season is not going to be an easy one for them. I could see them losing that one. K-State has a three-game stretch after the easy game against Oklahoma State this weekend. They have a game at Kansas, then they host Baylor, then they go to TCU. None of those games are going to be simple for them. I could see them losing all three of those games potentially. Not saying that they will, but I could potentially see them losing each of those games. I don't think that they're out of it at this point, but I do think that if they lose the game against Texas Tech, the team that they're chasing is probably going to be Texas Tech, not necessarily Kansas State. So I do think that this game is crucial for Texas Tech because I think it pretty much locks up a share of the conference title for them. And whereas if Kansas wins this game, it gives them the possibility of winning the title outright. All right, enough of that there. Any other final thoughts before we go ahead and wrap up for the evening?
Well, I heard this question asked today on the radio. I don't remember what radio station I was listening to, so I just want your opinion. Over under 15 on Marcus Garrett minutes on against Texas Tech. What do you think?
Oh, to be honest, I'm not sure. I mean, they said that he was going to suit up and it'd be a day-to-day, but I think a lot of it's going to depend on how well the game's going. I mean, if they're getting beat like crazy defensively and they need him to come in, you know, then he could go ahead and do that. But he's not going to be starting the game. Like, the only way I think he plays extended minutes is either if someone else gets injured, you know, God forbid, or if everybody is
don't even say that.
Right. I mean, like, but that's the only way, honestly, that's realistically the only way I see him playing more than 10 minutes, is either he comes in and starts making shots and looks really, really good in his first minutes off the bench, or someone else is unavailable for some reason, either an injury or we see lots of foul trouble really early or something like that. Like, I am of the opinion that they do not have him in their game plan for a meaningful number of minutes. And the only way that he is going to play them is if it's an emergency type situation. So I would definitely go with the under on that. I said, and Fetch and I both had the opinion that when they pulled the red shirt on Abaji, you know, that there was no way he was going to play more than 100 minutes the rest of the season. So my track record in picking these minutes, you know, over-unders is really, really bad, especially this year. But if it was my, you know, if it was up to me, I don't think I would play him for any more than about 10 minutes unless we got into an emergency situation where we needed him. So that's the way that I would pick. What about you?
Yeah, that's definitely I'm thinking between 5 and 10 minutes, so I definitely would take the under. Like we said towards the beginning of this podcast, that Texas Tech isn't a really good offensive team. So this isn't a game where I believe that we really need him. I think he'll come in sparingly, maybe try to get a couple people a little bit of rest here and there. But other than that, I really don't see him being used all that much in this game, especially if he's only 85%. So, yeah, definitely the under for me as well. But I heard it on the radio today, so I figured I would ask it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the most likely spot we're going to see him is where we, you know, if Texas Tech starts to go on a run and we want to bring him in to kind of just disrupt for just a little bit, just give them a different look, make them think about it, you know, try to get a quick disruption of an offense that they're pulling together. But I don't expect him to play extended minutes unless he is just doing a whole lot better than anyone really thinks. But I've also, you know, come to realize that I have absolutely no idea what's actually going on with this team. And so I'm going to make a prediction of what I think is going to happen. And Bill Self obviously knows something completely different. And so I'm going to look like an idiot. So yay me. You know, we can all talk about that on Twitter after I look like a complete idiot and Marcus Garrett played 30 minutes in the game and scores 12 points, you know, and has five steals. And it's just going to be absolutely insane. So.
But that's okay, though. That's an okay thing to be wrong about if he puts up those kind of stat numbers.
Exactly. All right, Ryan. Well, any other thoughts before we get out here for the day?
No, I think that was my only one that I really had.
Awesome. Sounds great. So yeah, thanks again for jumping on here. Obviously, you know, we had a great discussion, but unfortunately my recorder decided that it didn't want to catch both sides of the conversation. It was an absolutely fantastic discussion that unfortunately no one will ever get to hear unless they just want to hear me talking to dead air. So, yeah. But thank you so much for joining us again. I had a lot of fun. We've had a little bit of discussion. We're looking. There might be some opportunities for us to have you on here a little bit more often. So, Ryan, where can people find you online?
Find me at hawkchuck_KU on Twitter. And then you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram. I'm not that active on those, but I have them.
Right. Me neither.
And that's hawkchuck_KU. On both Instagram and Facebook. Every once in a while I post something on there, but I'm mainly on Twitter.
And then of course the site where we can catch all of your writing is hawkjock.com.
Right, correct.
Yep. All right. Well, we will make sure we get those links in the show notes and obviously we'll tag you on Twitter when this episode posts. But thank you so much for jumping on here for the last minute second recap or preview of this game. Have a good night.
All right, you too, man.
All right, thanks.
And that'll do it for today's episode. We thanks so much to Ryan for coming on. You know, it was really nice to talk to him again. We are looking for some ways to get him involved a little bit more often. I've enjoyed listening to what he, what he has to offer with his thoughts on KU. So obviously, kind of recapping what's going on, Kansas has been cleaning up at the Big 12 Indoor Track and Field Championships. They have three conference titles. They're also in, the men are in first after the first day of the indoor championship. So, in terms of wins, we have, redshirt sophomore Gleb Dudarev. He won his weight throw crown. Sharon Lodeke, she got her third 500,000 meter title. And then the KU men's distance medley relay team, had a really, really exciting race to get the gold medal there for the Jayhawks. So the men have, they're in first place with 41 points after the first day. The women sit in fourth place with 26.5 points. They're behind K-State, Texas Tech, and then Texas. So really good showing for them so far, in the Big 12 championships. In terms of other action that's been going on, obviously, you know, today, there's a bunch going on, but the baseball team won the first game of their doubleheader yesterday, 7-1 against Texas Southern. The second game got rained out, so they are going to be playing two today. Instead, the softball team unfortunately lost 9-0 against Tennessee. I think they were supposed to have two games on Friday, but unfortunately were not able to. They do play against Louisville this morning, actually bright and early at 8:30. By the time you listen to this, they're probably already done with that game. And then they also have a game against Bradley starting at 4, again, also down in Knoxville for the tournament they have there. The baseball team is playing a doubleheader again today, starting at 11 against Texas Southern. It's the first game. The second game is scheduled for 2:30. Obviously, playing back-to-back, you know, that might be delayed just due to the first game. So you can listen to both of those games live on the Jayhawk Radio online, if nothing else. The tennis team is hosting Arkansas today, starting at noon. Then the women's basketball is playing at 1 p.m. at Oklahoma State. You can listen to that on the Jayhawk Radio Network. I'm not seeing any television available for that, but it might be available locally for you guys. So, and then, of course, tonight at 7 p.m. on ESPN, the men's basketball team is playing. You know, we obviously talked about that extensively, but it should be a really, really good game. The golf team is currently playing in the Desert Intercollegiate. Day two of that tournament is today. And then they continue that tomorrow. The softball team tomorrow, Sunday morning, is supposed to play against Virginia at 8:30 in the morning. Baseball team will play at 11 a.m. in the finale of their series there with Texas Southern. And then tennis is hosting Air Force tomorrow, starting at noon. Obviously, Monday, we will have the coverage of the big Monday game, Kansas versus Kansas State. That's at Allen Field House. That'll be on ESPN at 8 o'clock. We are going to try to have another podcast before that point, so we'll talk more about that game. That podcast will either drop late Sunday night or on Monday morning, so we will be back with you guys at that point to talk about that. So, once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in. We're enjoying our new home here at the Rock Chalk Talk podcast channel. You know, if you haven't already, please do go ahead and find us on your favorite podcast program, whether that's, you know, that's Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or anything like that. We are on all of those, so please do find us, rate, subscribe, like, all that fun stuff. It really does help to get the podcast out there so that more people will find us and we can bring better content to you guys. If you do have any suggestions for the podcast, please contact us on Twitter at RockChuckPod or by email on RockChuckPodcast@gmail.com. You know, we always do want to hear comments, suggestions, questions, all that fun stuff. So definitely please reach out if you have anything you want us to take a look at. So, but we will go ahead and leave it there. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will catch you next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.